All right, everybody, welcome back to the NDL podcast. This is episode 2 in season 30, and I am your guy, RB. I am here with a special guest tonight. Jason has the night off, but I am here with none other than Pat, better known as Petty D in the live chat. Pat, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm good, man. Outside of way too many people betting on the Giants tonight, kind of a surprise, but we're here for college football, so who gives a shit about this? Sorry for the language.
No. You are good. Jason is out tonight doing some charity work, so we're going to talk here a little bit about what's going on in the league. We have been testing audio for the past like 30 minutes. I think we finally got it. Can you confirm, Pat, is our audio good on your end?
It sounds perfect, dude. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, this is why they pay IT professionals hundreds of thousands of dollars just to say, hey, why don't you just turn it on and turn it or turn it off and turn it back on again? You know, that should work, right?
Do a reset.
That's literally all I did. Yeah, after like exactly. 30 minutes of trying to like, oh, does this setting work? Is this setting? No, whatever. Okay. Well, anyways, guys, we're excited to be back here. We're going to talk a little bit about the group of five, actually a lot of it about the group of five here. We hadn't got a chance to get around. We've talked about the big boys, the SEC, the Pac-12, or sorry, not the Pac-12, the Big 12, RIP Pac-12. But yeah, let's dive right into it, and then we'll talk about some interesting results that we've seen so far this week. But Pat, I'm going to start at the top here. Let's dive into the athletic – no, not the athletic –
the
American Athletic Conference. Man, yeah. I get these all mixed up. So one returning coach, I believe, in this conference. To no surprise, it's the best team in this conference. I think a team that can really make a splash for the college football playoff is, if things shake out, you know, the way they could with how good this team is. But let's talk about this one. What are you seeing so far? Who do you like? What are your thoughts on the American Athletic Conference?
Yeah, I feel like if they actually had like betting odds for this, Memphis would have been like -250 around there to win the conference. Obviously, the one loss to Shell early in the year, like it is what it is, right? But you have East Carolina sitting up top there with them, 4-1. Keg, definitely a fan favorite in the league. Love the guy. He's been around since season one. And, you know, you have some little teams sprinkled in here. You have Army off to a nice start as well. But other than that, yeah, it kind of looks like it's Memphis's conference to win and everyone kind of chasing him.
Yeah, I agree with you. Big Red coming back for a second season. You know, I think obviously there's a team that he'd love to have, and that's Nebraska. And I think part of the reason of staying was because he knew he might not get them. But I'm right with you. I think it's Memphis's conference to lose, I would say. I think they're kind of the head and above favorite. But I like you mentioning Army. I mean, obviously in real life, they're having a magical, awesome season. OFC Meep got off to a great start last year with Louisville. Looks like he's off to a pretty solid start. I mean, they're not the best team on the game, right? But he's putting up some battles and scoring some points. And then someone I think that is a little bit of a dark horse in this conference, even though they're probably the second best rated team in there, is Tulane. I saw, I'll say, Tillnacious D. I hope I said that right. He had a big non-conference win the other day. I can't remember who I saw that pop up against. I think he beat Nebraska, actually, or it was something like that. But yeah, very interesting conference with a lot of, I still call them new coaches, because even though they're in their second season, I'm still calling you a new coach until you get into next year, until you make it through two or three seasons. And then obviously you got some veterans in there like Buckeye, one of the OGs, and Vic Tim as well. You know, not many conference games have been played so far, but I'm with you. I think Memphis plays in this conference championship, and I don't know if I'm going out on a limb here, but I think it's Memphis and Tulane. So,
yeah, Memphis for sure. I pulled up Tulane's schedule here when you said that. They beat Vandy, beat Purdue, lost to Nebraska, but still, okay. I mean, those are three tough games, right, for a non-power five team.
Yeah, power conference teams they went out and played to kind of boost up that strength of schedule. So, Yeah, going to be an interesting conference. And too, like, Navy's one that interests me as well. Actually, I think I misspoke. I think Code 1-4 was also at Navy last year, so he's a returning coach in this conference. And then, you know, Tulsa, Texan Ole, very active, very good coach. I played him earlier. If he didn't have such a limited defense, I think he would have put up a much better fight. And he had a great game plan against me going into the half. It was a 7-point game. You know, it's really anybody's conference until conference play starts. And I think Jason and I talk about that every week, that if you start out 1-3 or 0-3 or whatever, but you're 0-0 in conference, you still got everything to play for in this league, which is fun. And it's, you know, when you're part of these smaller conferences, it's, you know, why we play, right? It's why we have the 134 person league. So,
yeah, and you nailed it. There's six teams right now in this conference that are 0-0. So, like, you know, they're just getting started.
Exactly. Well, we'll scroll on down to our next one, Conference USA. I'm not going to lie, I kind of forget about this conference sometimes. I get them confused with the Sun Belt. I think maybe just because some of the teams are in that Sun Belt area. But small conference, I always forget it's only, I think, what, 12 teams in here. You know, a lot of OGs in this conference, especially, you know, we got Nub, Outlaw, Wasted, Old Skoola, Old KY Shark. Tons of guys here that names we recognize, right? A little surprised to see Liberty off the bat. I know they've gone out of conference and played two really tough games, but a 1-2 start, and I think Liberty last year maybe lost two games total. You know, I'm looking at this one. I like Outlaw at Middle Tennessee. Got to play him. I think that's your team you had last year, Pat. Obviously, great passing attack there. But who do you like in this conference and how you see it shaking out?
Yeah, so they, it's always a tough conference, out of conference for these guys. I don't think there's a team outside of Liberty that's over like a 77 overall in the game. Mm-hmm. So right now, Nub is 2-0 and has a propensity to play really well. I would probably think it'll be between him and Liberty. But there's also, what's fun about these lower conferences sometimes is you'll get new coaches, right? Like they, I would be lying to you if I said, I don't know who Chill is at Florida International, but he's 2-1, probably pretty good. But I've played Nub in the past, in older versions, outstanding player. Obviously Liberty's really good. Phoney's a great coach, 90 overall running back, 90 overall quarterback, like, with speed, it comes down to those two, right? And then everybody else, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with Nub. I mean, I remember him from back in the day. I know he started out in season 29, had to step away just time commitment-wise. Awesome to see him back. I'm really glad to see him back in the league. But I always forget, like, he was a dog back in the day. Like, he was a very successful
coach. He has, like,
a
gaming social media following, I'm pretty sure. Or at least he used to. I don't know if he does now, but yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, the guy can game.
He can ball. Exactly. He can play. And then, you know, I'm a little surprised, like, Wasted last year, played him early in the season, just scrims with Western Kentucky. And I mean, I was UCF. I was my team. And like, we had some battles. And then I don't know what happened, if it was, you know, interception bugs or what was going on. I know he's off to a 1-2 start, so a little bit better than last year. But, you know, I'm with you. Liberty and UTEP, obviously, off to hot starts, are going to be the two top dogs. And then, you know, some new guys that I know nothing about. You know, I did have Claw last year in the Mountain West, so I know a little bit about him. And then Awesome Andrew. Don't know anything about him, but Kennesaw State, like, that is a pitiful team to play with.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's won a game already is a great accomplishment. I have to imagine their win goal is like one or two, maybe at the most.
The only thing we know about Andrew is he's awesome, you know, but 1-1 for sure.
Yeah. No, fair enough. You know, it's going to be fun to see this conference, and not in the sense of like you're watching like great teams or anything, but it's just, it's new guys with these interesting, you know, teams that we haven't seen much of in the NDL. We got to do like I know Conference USA, oh, maybe they do. Yeah, no, they do. Conference USA plays on like Tuesday, Wednesday nights, right? To keep us all engaged.
They're like the new Maction.
Yeah, they. I think Maxion starts next week, or did it start this week? I know they go on their run of like five straight weeks of games during Tuesday, Wednesday. But yeah, this is a conference I'm learning more about, probably because I'm a degenerate and I'm betting on it on a Tuesday,
That
Wednesday
is
night.
how I'm pretty sure everybody knows about this conference.
Oh, funny. Good stuff.
But I
We'll,
will say
yep.
Jacksonville State rolls out the best uniforms for sure. I watched their game last Tuesday on TV, and they had. And what's funny is, remember Rich Rodriguez? He's their head
Yes.
coach.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
What
Well,
a
we'll
fall from grace.
Yeah, right. I mean, she's Power Five all the way to Jacksonville State. But hey, that's sometimes how these coaches get back into it, is they have some awesome runs at these smaller schools. We'll move on to the independents. I mean, not really a conference here. I won't talk too much about Rain. There's not much to say. He's an awesome player. Great season last season. I will say this year he's given up a lot more points, and I don't know if people are just getting a lot better at offense. I have an inclination that that's probably what it is. But yeah, 89 points through four games. That's a lot higher than it was last year for him. And then of course Connecticut. This isn't we're not picking a winner out of this, because there is not really a conference to win. But I think Dave is going to have a great season. D. Riccio, that is, for those listening, at UConn. That's a team that he's played with for years and years and years, and it's his team. So give me just a breakdown of kind of what you think out of these three teams in the FBS Independents.
Yeah, so Notre Dame, obviously you mentioned the points given up. I understand that, but he's playing some good teams too. He has a game with Washington State next block. That's a big one. Matt 90210, great owner, obviously. Plays really well with like the lower tier teams. And then like you said, Dave is one of the best players I have played in this game. I don't know why I love the guy. Obviously, he went to UConn. I think he played baseball there. But like, he won't pick a higher level team, and sometimes I wish he would, because I think he'd be right up there as a top 10 guy, like in our league. I've played a scrim against him once or twice, and he absolutely belittled me, like it was bad. And then we have to talk about the Minutemen. We've got one of the most active, coolest dudes in the NDL, Corey Nasty, back, man. How cool is that? Love to see him back, contributing great GIFs and even funnier articles. So great to have him back too.
Yeah, I remember him from back in the day. Didn't interact a ton. Obviously, I've chatted with him in the live chat. We don't live far from each other, which is interesting and crazy. But I do remember the name. Obviously, great, great player, great history in this league. I can click on his page here. Did he ever win a national championship? I know that he was like up there a lot in kind of the top tier,
Probably
upper
played for
echelon.
one. Not sure if he won one. Definitely played for one. Like, I would bet my money on that. But
Yeah.
just a really good user. Used to throw the heck out of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, and it's no fun. I say no fun. It's a tough task playing with a team like UMass. Always interesting too,
Right.
like UMass and UConn have to go out and schedule like 10 games on their schedule. So, you look at his, and he's playing a lot of the old buddies that he knows and some top tier teams. And then same with, Dave. I think he's playing some pretty big time teams. I think he played Miami already in Dealer, which was a ended up winning. I don't know if that was a cup game or a regular season game. My pages are loading. I'm trying to click on tabs and seeing who's played who. But
Right.
yeah, like th this is like OG City right here in the independent group.
Absolutely. And I think there's probably a reason for that. They'd like to make their own schedules, you know?
Yeah.
I commend that. Yep.
We'll move on to the MAC. We just talked about the MACtion a little bit. I'm looking through this conference. There is two openings yet, with Ohio and Western Michigan. There's been a little turnover to start the season, but I see some names, some guys that were very, very new. I see some OGs as well. We'll talk about Fired Up Chip right away. 2-3 start. I would say I'm surprised, but I'm not. You look at who he's played, his opponent's record are 12-6, one of the toughest strength of schedules to start the season, next to Akron in this conference, and Bowling Green. My goodness, their combined Bowling Green's combined opponent record 16-1, which is insane. But I think this has fired up Chip's conference to win. He is probably the best user in this conference. Maybe doesn't necessarily have the best team. You know, we've talked a lot about him taking his team, which, you know, hats off to him. That's a pretty courageous thing to do at number two overall pick, or three, whichever it was. But yep. Let's talk a little bit about who you see rising in this conference to be one of those top teams, or maybe playing for a conference championship.
Yeah. So fired up, Chip. You already touched on it, going wild and out on his non-conference. But man, this Northern Illinois guy, again, might be a new person, maybe a name I don't recognize, but I watched him play, I think it was Florida, either today or yesterday. Really good player. His record shows it. 9-5 opponent record. The one loss he has is in Gainesville. Like, we don't really expect NIU to beat the Gators, right, in Gainesville. Yeah. Really good player. And in that game against Florida, I watched, like, I think it was the second and third quarter. I had some time to watch it. Had like plays where like it was 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, where he's not supposed to go for it, so he had to punt. So like when you play teams like in the MAC, you're not going to have those situations, right? You're going to have those first downs. So yeah. I think it's a two dog race for sure.
Yeah, I would say, you know, that dude 15, Ball State coach, I've heard a lot of big things and great things about him. It's early. He's 2-2. He's played some tough games. I think he's going to contend. I would also be curious to see how Mark does. That's MT Wasik for those listening at Toledo. I played him in my cup game. He came to Wisconsin, and man, he was tough to beat. I think I beat him by one, and the only reason I won is because he was like, I'm the lesser team here. I'm going to go for two with like 30 seconds left to try to win the game, and I was fortunate to be able to flush him out of the pocket, scramble. He had nothing open. I was just, you know, fortunate to win that game. I think he's going to have a nice year. I would say bounce back year, but he went 9-3 at Oregon. So it's not like he had a bad season last season. But right. Yeah, look out for Ball State and Toledo. I think they'll contend with Northern Illinois and the Central Michigans of the conference.
Yeah. You know, Ball State, my error there, totally forgot. I actually played an online dynasty with him in another Discord channel, absolute stud. And then also, I've played a few scrims against Buffalo, Wobbles.
Yeah.
Super fun to play against because it is quirky jerky playing that guy. You never know what he's going to run. Like, he'll run the ball on 3rd-and-13 and get first downs. Like, he's super unpredictable. Good player.
Yeah, I got to scrim him as well. It's just unfortunate his team is not highly rated. Like, it's always weird when you're scrimming people and your team is an 87 overall and theirs is like a 76, right? It's like, you know, at some point the ratings will take over, or can take over,
right?
Which is like, it's unfortunate, but it ended up getting out of hand, getting close to the 35-point rule, and it's just one of those games that like wasn't a 35-point game, if you know what I'm talking about, where it's like he's moving the ball, his plays are mixing up, he's getting down the field, but you know, an AI defender makes an insane jump comeback route and picks something off. And it's like, okay, sorry, man. It's just the game sometimes with the AI. Yeah, I agree with
sometimes
you.
Sometimes the talent takes over.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I agree with you. He's a great new active coach, and he'll definitely compete as well. We'll move on to the Mountain West Conference. You know, this one's interesting. I think we might see a playoff team come out of here as the highest ranked group of five here. A lot of guys who are going to compete for that spot. I mean, look at the top four teams in the conference, a combined 3-8-12-16-1 are the top four teams in this conference. San Jose, Vic, I think he jumped in last season and had a pretty solid year, was dealt a tough hand with a tough team. Now his opponents haven't won a game yet, so he's 3-0 against a combined 0-12 teams. But
you beat me to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I just looked over. I mean, all of them have not played maybe necessarily the toughest schedules, but I think this is going to be like super interesting when you get these teams in a conference play. And I'm not counting out Hawaii with Jeff Daddy or Boise State yet with Rock. But talk to me about the Mountain West and what your thoughts are here.
This conference would be like a nightmare because you maybe draft a team to go here. Like your thought is, hey, I'm going to draft a middle of the road team, maybe get a good pick next year.
Get a win goal. Yeah.
Wrong choice. Yeah. Wrong choice. Cause Vic is good. Okay. You have the Aztecs 5-0, New Mexico, Sammy 4-0. And then you have Lick, who obviously Tim's my boy. We do game day together. 4-1, and his one loss is to USC when he had a 28-point lead.
Yeah, he can run the hell out of the ball. Crazy. Is what I'm learning. That's kind of his calling card is running the football. And I don't know, maybe he ran too much when he got up big on USC there. But I just got done playing USC last night. Man, their team speed is like insane. To try to combat that with little old Wisconsin, you know, speed, and I can't even imagine what it's like with Wyoming speed as well. Interesting player in this conference to me is Rain. I know Black Rain, that is, sorry, if I don't mean to confuse anyone out there. Had an okay season last year. I think he would say like it should have been better. It could have been better. He's a really, really good player with a great history in this league and has not played a game yet, but I've seen him active. I've seen him chatting and whatnot. I'm sure he's going to get moving here in a little bit, but UNLV is a good team in this conference and on this game, and I wonder if they'll kind of step up or enter the chat here to compete this season.
Well, and hear me out on this one, too. I'm telling you, this conference I'm looking at, I am so glad I didn't draft a team in here. You also have Colorado State, okay? Mm-hmm. Beat Arizona and then played Kansas and had to play Colorado, two teams that are ranked higher than them. Yeah. But then you go to his cup, like his NDL cup, and he's second in his group of five players. And he's beat Bowling Green in Nevada and there handily. The guy scores a ton of points. So just another, this is kind of like the non-Power 5 SEC.
Yeah.
You know, like I think there's just going to be one of those just, you never know who's going to win week by week.
Yeah, I'm going to make a prediction here. I'm going to say the conference title game is going to be San Diego State. And I'm going to go with Tim at Wyoming, but I think San Diego State is going to take it. They're getting some good ratings bumps. I mean, look at that score, 218 points in five games to only 124. So almost doubling up opponents. I know the record's not there quite yet. Vic, love you, man. You know, we banter back and forth, and you're really active in the live chat. You've also messaged me and given me some good advice about this game, but your team rating worries me. So I'm going to go with San Diego State winning this conference.
Yeah, and there's something about playing with the school you went to. I'm pretty sure Big Z is San Diego State alum, and there's just something about it. So I'm with you. I'm going to go with him winning the conference.
I did not know that. So, yeah, that is interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'll attest to it too. I did not go to Wisconsin. I went to a smaller school in Wisconsin, but I'm born and raised from the state. And like, it is fun playing with a team that like my family is fans of, and I know they go to a bunch of games and cheer for them. So it is fun, man. It's fun to play with a team that, you know, that's near and dear to you. So it'll be interesting. Excuse me. We'll go to the Sun Belt last, but certainly not least. I am actually now the conference commissioner of the Sun Belt.
I saw that. Congrats.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. No, excited to be back. I did step away because one, I was gone for quite a while and I'm kind of in my busy season for work, but, over the next like 3 or 4 weeks, my work does slow down. So it is kind of interesting timing. I'm excited to be back.
How dare you fall in love too and propose in a beautiful way in Europe? How dare you?
Oh, I know. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, interesting. You know, this conference has been very active, both in chats and playing games. A couple new coaches here taking over some teams. I think last year Coastal Carolina won this thing with Chip, who ended up going to the playoff. Don't think we're going to see a playoff team out of this conference this year. But I'll start with the West. Troy, obviously, huge, huge win. I think he beat Nebraska. I think that was the one I was thinking about. You know, able to get a big upset, you know, came in late last season with Baylor, and upset Kansas. I think the only loss that Kansas has ever had in this league is by him. So,
that is correct.
I like Troy here. Little surprised to see Texas State and Randog off to a slow start. They're really not an easy team to play with in this game, even though that like they do have some highly rated players. Their playbook and their offense is just kind of funky. And then of course,
is it? Home,
yeah, it is. Yeah. Unless you mean you got to use a different playbook, I think, if you're going to play with them, because theirs is just really weird. But Holme, obviously, at Appalachian State, playing some really tough games in his non-conference, playing some of his old buddies. But talk to me about this conference and how you see things going.
Yeah, so like you said, you got Holme on the East, who is a returning coach, and oddly enough, sitting at the top of the 1-2 record. But that West looks like to be more the bloodbath. You have Dak at Arkansas State, who, by the way, I've met in person. Great guy. You have the Raging Cajuns. I don't know. Great name. Doofenshmirtz. Like, he's going to get my vote just because of that. And then you do have Troy. Played him a few times. Really a unique player. He does a lot of good things on defense that, like, will confuse you, because he'll user like odd players, if that makes sense, like not guys you would think would drop into certain areas, if that makes sense what I'm saying, RB. So he's really good at that. And then I will tell you, Randog at 0-3, I just said how fun it is to play with your alma mater. Randog went to Texas State, and
that's right.
Tough sledding early on.
Yeah. I think there's been some pretty close games in there. Again, 0-0 in conference, so everything still in front of them.
Exactly.
I'm glad you brought up.
Not Duke. A single conference play game played in this one yet, by the way. Everyone 0-0.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Doof, though. I had him when I was the conference commissioner in the Mountain West, and he was New Mexico, just New Mexico, not New Mexico State, the Lobos. He had a really sneaky good season last year. Kind of a lull. He, you know, started off playing, kind of disappeared, not disappeared. He went a little quiet in the middle of the season, then came back and played a lot of games to end the season. I want to say he went at least 7-5, maybe 8-4. I could probably pull it up and fact check it, but really, really good player. You know, interesting to see, you know, if the activity stays up this year. I think this is a conference that, you know, he could win. He could go like 9-3, 10-2 with what I've seen out of him, and find himself in a spot drafting a pretty big time team next season. So, I'm going to go ahead and pick. I got Troy winning this conference just based on what I've seen so far. I do think on the other side, though, I'd like to see Holme in that conference championship game, and I think he will get it done this year now that he's more familiar with that team, and I think now that he's got a better feel for the other teams and how they play here in the conference as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. It's our first agreement, I think. I like Troy to beat the Mountaineers, the App State Mountaineers, in the conference championship game.
So we just talked about a bunch of teams. One of them is going to have to make the college football playoff. If you could pick, give me like one or two teams out of these smaller conferences that you think could or will, if you want to go out on a limb and say who will represent the group of five in our college football playoff this season.
Yeah, it's going to be Memphis, or it's going to be Central Michigan / NIU. The winner of the MAC, or Memphis. It's just, you've got the good coaching behind like the good talented teams. They know how to use the teams. Fired up Chip. I mean, if you're gonna draft Central Michigan, I mean, the guy is obviously a fan, so he knows how to use the team. Again, I know that I made a joke earlier if you go to the school there, but like there's something to that. Like, you follow that team, you know when a guy should play slot receiver versus like outside receiver, you know when the right tackle sucks and he should be subbed by somebody else. Yep. Like, you just, there's something to that. So those would be, if I had to pick out of a pool of teams, Memphis, Central Michigan, Northern Illinois, one of those three.
Yeah, and I guess too, like I did forget a little bit about the Pac-12. I know they don't necessarily fall in the group of five. They also don't fall in the Power Five. It's kind of an interesting spot. I know Matt is 1-0. However, I probably should have corrected you when you said it earlier. I do believe he has taken a step back from the league, because of just job requirements and things. I heard that yesterday, and it sucked to hear and see. And then, of course, you have Oregon State as well in there. Untouchable. Love the guy. I just think he's dealt a tough, tough hand with that team. But, loop them into the Mountain West. We probably should have just done that. I don't necessarily think either one of those teams will be a playoff team. I think Matt would have had a chance if he, plays the season out at Washington State, a team he knows. Like you just talked about, he went to, he's familiar with, he knows how to use them. Hopefully situation changes. I don't know if it's official yet, if he's out or not. He's trying to work on solutions. For those who don't know, he's basically like put up from work at a hotel on site, not at home, for probably the next like 2 to 3 months potentially. And the internet is just not good where he's at. So hopefully that situation clears up. But I'm gonna look at some of these teams. I'm gonna go. It's hard not to go with like Memphis, but I think I'm gonna go with someone on the Mountain West. Like I think if one of these teams goes like 12-1, when obviously conference champion would be the one to go. I would not be surprised to see like San Diego State in it. Man, if Tim didn't have that loss at USC, if he was sitting at 5-0 with a win versus USC, I would be like, I think he's got a chance if he runs the table here. But, now the human element in there of a committee picking. It's going to be unbiased. It's going to be kind of not a random committee, but it's going to be a well thought out committee. And I just have to imagine, like, if the body of work for a Memphis is, with a bigger win or a close loss to Shell compared to a loss to USC, no discredit to USC right now, sitting at 2-3, I just played a hell of a tough game against them. It's going to be interesting, but yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it's one of these top teams out of the MAC and maybe a top team here out of the Mountain West, like a San Diego State or again, Memphis. So.
Yeah. And Matt, if you're listening, man, so sorry to hear about what's, going on with work. I can't even imagine having to choose work over the NDL. You'd think the NDL would come first, but whatever. No.
Yeah.
But bummer for you, bud. Sorry, but, obviously work comes first.
Yeah, I hope I didn't divulge too much information either. I think it's just been a conversation going on in the conference.
I knew
chat,
about that as well.
Okay.
I knew about that, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, guys, that's our group of five recap. I think the moment that everyone's been waiting for, there was a huge game today in the NDL. I have started this project, if you will. We're trying to put together this NDL TV guide. And so if you coaches even have remotely kind of interesting big games that you think are out there, let us know when they are. Like, shoot me a DM, shoot some of the NDL media members a DM, and let us know when you're playing. I have put Freak on some reconnaissance missions to go into some threads and see when teams are playing. So that's how we figured out Georgia and Bama were playing and put it out in the chat. I think the word would have spread anyways because it was Bama and Georgia. But I think at one point today, Pat, we had 21 people on the live stream in the middle of a work day watching this game. You said you watched the entire game, so I'll let you start talking about it. What did you see? Give us kind of your storyline and how it unfolded, and then obviously we'll talk about the result as well.
Yeah, so the beauty, and I would just like to point out again that, like, it's awesome that we get to watch these games now. I mean, as a grown adult, I'll admit, like, I kind of planned my work break around it.
I did
so
today. Yeah, not ashamed of that.
Yeah.
I took my lunch specifically at like 1:45, 2 o'clock, so that I could watch this game.
Yeah, and you know what surprised me the most about it, which was awesome, is it was at one point, I think it was 23-20, something like that, and neither team had over 300 yards of offense at that point in the fourth quarter. That was the biggest surprise to me. So, like, what a chess match, right? Like, it's getting off the field on third downs. Both of them threw picks. Both of them ran the football well, but didn't pass it particularly well. Yep. A lot of third and longs, a lot of sacks. Milroe got out of a ton of sacks. One big one. He was in the middle of the end zone. We're not talking like a half yard deep. We're talking like 5 yards deep in his own end zone, and spun out of two tackles to throw the ball away. Just a great game, two great coaches. And I have to compliment DeKane. I know we're tough on him sometimes because of the warm-up game thing, but seriously, like, what a good sport. He was on camera today while playing.
Yep.
And although a lot of people were making jokes, we have all experienced what he was going through during that game. The highs and the lows, throwing his hands up. It was so much entertainment. And I have to applaud both of them, dude. It was a great game, and I really appreciate them getting it in while we're at work.
Yeah, it definitely provided all the entertainment in the world today during work hours. Awesome, awesome game. I did miss the first half. So I did catch, you know, pretty much the most of the second half. And like one of them said it in the chat, like, what a chess match, right? Like DeKane was like, I am like shaking after that game because my brain, and he said
his brain hurt.
My
yes.
brain is fried because he was like, hey, how do you hype up the crowd? And he was like, L3 up. And it's like, sorry, R3 up, whatever, the stick up. Because right, he just yeah. like couldn't think. But like, that is just an absolute like classic NDL game that, you know, if it's up on their stream for the next few days, like go back and watch that. For any of you new guys listening to this, I hope you do listen this far and you're engaged.
100%.
Go
great,
back and
great
watch
call
that
out.
Game. Like two top high level coaches. Skill, like throw the skill away, right? The skill is great. But like they played that game cerebrally, if that's a word. It was a chess match. You're talking about Milroe, like with some of the sacks and stuff. There was a play that really stood out to me where fourth quarter game winning drive. I think Milroe hit a wide open guy down the right side to get him into field goal range. And like he didn't sprint to like the sideline. He didn't roll out. It was just kind of like a subtle little like move through the pocket, avoid some pressure, be patient, didn't scramble, and just found a guy wide open on the right side for probably like 28 to 30 yards, somewhere in that range, set up the game winning field goal. And talk about like someone put in the chat, the cojones from Major League. I think it was a 50 yard field goal to win.
Yeah.
It?
So like, I've scrimmed Mike a few times
on the road,
and I did
on
not,
the road.
Yeah. I didn't know this about him. So he has played, I think we've played two games since I got Utah, and I've scrimmed him. And it's funny, when he passes midfield, you have to coach differently, because I didn't know this. The first time I played him, his kicker made like a 62-yarder.
Oh, wow.
And he's the best kicker in the game, I think. So that's like huge, right?
Yeah.
So, and Kane knew it, like after, I think Mike made a 59-yarder in the first half. So that play you're talking about, by the way, was incredible. It was a whole shot, like on the sideline, far hash. He was on the left hash and threw it to the right sideline. I never even saw the guy, and he sat right down, and then he ran like two more plays, and he was in field goal range. And it was just, when you watch Mike play, it's really cool to watch him play, because he won't throw the like bad interception. Like he threw an interception on that third down when he was trying to run the clock out, and then he shared it in the chat, like his guy beat the guy, and then he ran like a stupid choice route. But like he will throw a check down on 3rd and 13 and just punt the ball and like play defense. And it's hard to play like that, like mentally, right? You're like, I got to get a first down here. And he will play it differently. He will trust in his defense and his stick skills to come back, because I'm pretty sure he was down by two touchdowns early in the game and came back and won.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the old saying, like, you lose the battle, but not the war. And that's kind of how he plays, right? Like, 3rd and 13, I'm going to check down for 7 yards, but I'm going to punt. I'm not going to give him I'm not going to flip the field, right? I'm not going to give him plus territory. I'm not going to throw a stupid pick six, right? And like, I wish I had, I'm getting better at it, but I wish I had that kind of discipline to do that, of like, I'll get this to my running back or my tight end for 7. I'll punt it. I'll pin him in the 20. I'll let my 88, 90 overall defense do the work, right? So
Yeah.
Great, great game. Awesome one to watch. A couple others to talk about too. Any final thoughts on that game? Any like implications or dominoes you see falling after that one?
I commend all those coaches in that conference. Like what a struggle. Like that's one game, right? And then I just off memory, because like I know Georgia's like been on TV a few times this year, like Kane's gotta play Texas. He has to play Florida. Bama probably has to play LSU. Like it's just what a grind. Good for those guys.
Yeah, someone is going to come out with their fist in the air of like just like I want it. Like someone won.
I'm looking at the conference right now. Bama 5-0, Florida 5-0, South Carolina 3-0, Tennessee 4-0, and then you have Auburn, who's 1-0 in the conference, 2-2, and then you have Georgia 2-1.
Yeah,
Texas 2-0. Like,
I know he's off to a slow start too, but like Kentucky, you know, like he'll get it going. I'm sure. You know, it's gonna.
And he's gonna ruin someone's season. Like. He's going to be like that's like you don't get an off week, you know. No. Like you have LSU, by the way. LSU one loss to South Carolina, had a player suspended, but like the guy is good. Like he was in our final of our NDL Cup and in the semis of our playoff last year. Like that guy's good. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, and
oh, and 6 feet, by the way. So I mean, 6 feet's going to be a pain in the ass to play.
Yeah. 100%.
Quest. You're at Vandy, though. Good luck, bud.
Yeah. Quest and Beer Cop. Love the two guys. Yeah. Man.
I played Beer Cop this week, man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, boys.
Yeah. So I know, again, we're hammering the SEC to death. We won't forever here. Let's talk about Baylor, Iowa State. I did not catch that game. I think you might have. It was right after game day on a Saturday. Ended up being an awesome, awesome game. And I'm just going to go on the record here and say that I know ball, at least NDL ball, because I've been hyping up Baylor since like the beginning of the season. And here he is sitting at 6-0. I think he's the first 6-0 team currently in the league. And man, great game. I don't know the implications of this one, but did you catch that game, Pat? Were you able to watch it after game day on Saturday?
So I didn't watch it on after game day. I caught it. I caught the first half just to check it out, because I play Iowa State later this year. Mm-hmm. A completely different type of game than what we saw at Bama and Georgia today. Plays being picked like really fast and like just like more high volume, if that makes sense. But just two really offensive minded guys. And then just like Vegas knows how to do all of the stuff that maybe some people don't know how to do, not in a bad way, but like all the pre-snap stuff. He is active. Like if you watch his stream, like pre-snap, like it is insane, dude. Like he's got check marks over guys. He's got guys doing all sorts of stuff that I don't understand, but like it's well within what we're supposed to be doing. It's just really impressive to watch. And then Iowa State, Smitty, he was Toledo last year. He went 11-1, kind of slept on guy. Iowa State is good in this game. They were the third team on my draft board personally, and I picked 19th overall. I was going to draft. They have two really good receivers. They have a good quarterback. They have a good defense. They're a little slow, but really good team and a pretty good home field advantage. So, yeah, just a really fun game to watch. Completely different stylistically than the game we saw today, but still just as entertaining.
Vegas is a cerebral player. I think that's like Rain. I'd say him and Rain are very similar in the sense where like they are just smart and they know what they're doing. They know how to read the defense. They know what adjustments to make. It's a whole other world that I don't know anything about on how
they do that sub stuff when they're like flipping through plays. I don't know what's going on. Like they're moving guys around like on defense, like the D end on this play is going to the right side instead of left side, which is awesome. Like, I just don't, like, I'm not fast enough.
or even just to, like, the coaching adjustments between plays. Like, again, I'm not fast enough to go in there and, like, oh, I'm going to move my speed corners to the inside, or I'm going to match up based on height or speed. And it's like, I don't, like, I can't think that fast. Like, I only got a 30-second or 35-second play clock. You know, it's just a whole nother way of playing the game, which is fascinating to watch, right? It's very entertaining. Great. Great game. I mean, the game of the weeks we've really hit on this year. Look at the three results, you know, 35-27 San Diego State over Hawaii. That's a fun game of the week. We got the game today. That game was a 3-point game, the Baylor Iowa State. And then a couple other big ones here. We got Clemson, Florida State, and Notre Dame, Louisville. We'll go rapid fire. Don't have to dive into them too much, but who do you got in Notre Dame, Louisville? And then who do you got in Florida State, Clemson?
So I'll go out on a limb and Notre Dame, Rain is the best player in scrimmages at least. And I don't know how serious people take him that I've ever played. Everyone's open. It's on time. I'll pick him. And then I'm so sorry. The other game was Florida State Clemson.
Yeah. And Clemson just lost today, which maybe takes the luster away a little bit, but I still think it's a huge game. I think both coaches are 3-3-1 right now. So it's kind of a game that could propel one of these teams, you know, to make a run in the ACC.
So I'm going to go with Florida State. This is I'll share a very short story. He is new to the league. And, when we were all, even before our first draft coming back, he was new to the league and I played with him on the mics. Super cool dude, man. Like, really down to earth and like was telling me all about, you know, he lives in Georgia, and just like a really good player. And I'm going to go with him. Big Rye always has been good on defense, but I love you, Big Rye. The offense has always been a struggle for him, dude, ever since I've played him. So I'm going to go with Florida State because they're so overrated on the game.
That's really sad to hear because I gave up 45 points in a bowl game to Big Rye. It was like an insanely entertaining offense.
You got
to
tell me this stuff before we prep.
No, it was just one of those.
To be fair, I've heard UCF has one of the worst defenses on the game. Yes, so let's go with that.
It's an 80 overall defense, but I promise you, they do not play like an 80 overall on defense.
Which is
but,
sad, right?
Yeah, it definitely hurt. Couple other results popping up here that we should talk about. I think TCU right now is turning some heads in the Big 12, 40-14 over Houston. How about Boston College too, by the way? You know, taking it to Virginia, but also like Ohio State, they had a chance at playing Ohio State. I think it was a 21-14 final. I was able to catch the end of that game, just couldn't quite get the stop.
And he beat Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Boston College team I've been talking about a little bit. Michigan seems to be back on track after that loss as well. Big win over Washington. You know, Washington snuck into the rankings this past week. I think got in up to 24, and then, you know, Michigan kind of back on track. So you see some early season losses with some teams, and you're like, oh, I thought they were going to be better. And then here we are getting, you know, further into it, maybe the next block or two. I think you're going to start to see some of these teams bounce back and kind of rise back up into, you know, to where they should be or where they can be. So any results or any other games you've seen so far this block or this week that stand out to you?
This particular block, you nailed it with TCU. Guy is really good offensively. People forget he went to the Sun Belt Championship last year, lost to Riccio. However the hell you say it. Dave, there you go, Dave. Lost to him with South Alabama, really good player. Great call out there. And then like just kind of scrolling through the standings. There's nothing. Oh, Georgia Tech. Okay. I'm pretty sure he was new to the league last year and unfortunately had to sit a player for the old 35-point rule. But 2-0, and he uses that team really well, like really well. I've watched him play before, really good player. And then I want to know what happened to our guy Block M. Some great victories early on and then a loss to TCU. And he, I don't know if the Zodiac killer got to him or what, but he's gone. And I would like him to come back. Block, this is a desperate call for you to come back to Discord because you make the NDL great. So please come back. Oh, and then, like, dude, Shell will sell himself short till the end of time, and then he'll go, like, 12-0 and be like, oh, well, I played like shit and won 12 games, you know? So he's kind of, like, slept on, which is hard to think someone at number five is underrated, right? But, like, he is because he downplays his skills all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I'm hooking Shell up with some tickets to a Mavs Pelicans game because he's a big Pelicans fan, big Louisiana guy. And I really attempted to be like, hey, can you like maybe spot me 14 points for that? I'm kind of doing you a solid here. No, but I'm with you. Like I had him in, I was beating him in the fourth quarter. I thought I caught a touchdown last season. I probably talked about this three times now since we've done the podcast. I caught a touchdown to go up by 10 against him last season. And man, it was a weird animation drop. Didn't count. And he just demolished me in the fourth quarter. I have him again this year. I'm excited I'm excited to play him because I enjoy playing him. Not going to beat him. You know, it's Wisconsin against that Oregon speed, but I'm with you. Like I always have him in my top five so far in the three polls that I've done. Very cool that we can now see how the polls are being voted on. I don't know if you guys have caught that graphic. We'll send it out, and I don't know if it's gone out in the announcements, but really interesting to see, you know, especially like 18 through 25. I think it's always interesting to see who's noticing who's getting voted, you know, highly, who's maybe not.
RB, my name's Petty D. I notice everybody they're voting for.
Yeah, that's fair. But not a ton of results pouring in yet. You know, I'm looking through the games. Like, obviously, there's some interesting ones. Like, Minnesota is one that I think, you know, he's 1-4 right now, but I'm pretty sure every one of his games has been pretty close. Guys, I mean, keep getting those games in, keep playing. It's fun to see these games throughout the week. And like I said, really trying to get a schedule kind of locked down, throughout the week so that we can get you guys who's playing at what time so you can plan your lunch break, at work. But, anything I'm missing, Pat, before we wrap up this week?
No, just thank you for having me on. I know I'm always busting people's balls in the chat, but I do it out of pure. If I'm not making fun of you, I probably don't like you. No, but seriously, the fact that we have a media team now, I'll say it every week, is what sets us apart. I love that people can kind of listen to this like throughout their day, whether they're doing chores, driving a car, or going for a run. I just really appreciate you having me on. I you can clearly see I like to talk about this stuff. Because we get to be interactive, you know. We actually get to coach football, and as you guys know, I coach a real football team that's pretty good out here in California, and I don't get to call the offense. I only call the defense. So it's nice to control the offensive players. And yeah. I just absolutely love the NDL, man, like to the very core. It's just a great group of guys. And I'm probably going on for 2 minutes too long, but like the fact that the league is back is super, super fun. Just like that we get to do this.
Yeah, I love it, man. And I'm glad you brought it up because I do think the league is coming to a crossroads of we have an established old core. We are building an established new core of guys who are now returning in season two of the return, season 30. Would love to see that continuing to build. I think we have lost some guys who maybe started out 0-2 or 1-3 and have either left or are considering leaving because they've lost some games and maybe they didn't expect to. We talk about it every week, guys. Like, I started out 0-2. I'm probably going to lose six or seven games. Like, it is what it is. Like, I think we all think we're really, really great players, and then we get to this league, and it's, oh, wow, this is kind of the next level of competitiveness, and in a good way, right? In a way where it's like we're playing the Sim-style game. But, man, this league is awesome, and the fact that we had 21 guys watching a game on a Monday workday in the middle of the day, and you mentioned it earlier, Pat, like, we didn't 10 years ago, like, that didn't exist. Right. Like, we didn't
not at
watch,
all.
You couldn't watch games. You couldn't even really see live scores pop in through a Discord. Like, I always love, like, I'm at work and say I'm off the Discord for 2 or 3 hours. I love going to that scoreboard app or scoreboard channel and just seeing like all the scores that have rolled in that I missed and catching up on it. Like it is fun that we get that with this league, and then we get to catch up on the stories of, oh, who popped off in the live chat, or what was the game that everyone's talking about. So it's really cool stuff, guys. I hope you guys, especially the newer ones, you know, start to enjoy it or start to like immerse yourself in the community a little bit more. I'm going to shout out FL Man, Florida Man University, new coach, but like really interactive and wanting to be involved. And yeah, we probably only have a limited number of spots here on this media team, but hey man, there's other ways to get involved, and we'll give you some articles to maybe look into or write and throw in there or help out with some conference commissioner stuff. So keep coming to us with some ideas. And the last thing I wanted to talk about too before we actually wrap up is the NDL media team and what they have coming up. I promise you guys, like, I know it might go slow for a day or two. Hey, we all have lives, we work, fiancés, wives, kids, all that sort of stuff. But we're gonna try our best to get on a good cadence here. So moving forward, you know, the podcast will come out on either Mondays or Tuesdays. Sometimes scheduling just doesn't allow us to get together on Sunday night. So thanks, Pat, for stepping in and being part of this today. I know you said you were grateful, but I'm grateful for you as well. Because I think I messaged you about an hour before we started, or maybe even 30 minutes, and you were like, hell yeah, I'll jump on. So that's the kind of stuff we're looking for out of this media team is
like Johnny Moxon from Varsity Blues, man. Just, you know, when Lance goes down, somebody
grab your helmet and get out there.
Jump in.
Yeah. So no, like, so, you know, Monday, Tuesdays, we'll get a podcast out. And then on Wednesday evenings, we're gonna try to do it live. If it's not, that's fine. We'll post more content for you. But we're looking at doing like a pardon the interruption type of show, just a quick 30-minute quick hitter going through topics in the NDL, talking about game results, you know, and what has happened in the current block. You know, with two or three guys, you know, we'll just do Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon style. And then, you know, we have the bottom 10 article that's going to come out pretty much every Tuesday. Again, just a for fun article. Don't take any of it personally. It's not an attack on you, just kind of a fun little spin on, you know, being in the bottom of the league, if you will. We've all been there. You know, I've had my 1-11 seasons. I've had my 2-10 seasons as well. And then on Fridays, we will probably have nothing, either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursdays, if you're still tracking with me. We are going to have at least one of those days have a live cast game of the week with a commentary crew. This week, we are working with Clemson and Florida State for Wednesday night. Not 100% confirmed, but we're pretty close to having that thing set up for Wednesday night. And then Fridays, most likely you will see nothing. Saturdays, we'll have game day. And then, of course, Sundays, we'll open up the new block and we'll kind of start that cycle over again. So hopefully that gives you guys a good idea of what's coming out, when it's coming out, and what to look out for moving forward. So I'll give you the final word, Pat. Anything to close us out on?
Nope, just play your games. Always stream them. And guys, it doesn't matter if you're 0-10 or 10-0. Let us know in the live chat if you're going to play. I like to just have a game on over, you know, like especially during work, like I'll pop a game on just to check it out. So always talk, like, you know, let us know when you're playing. We love to watch.
Agreed. Love it. Thanks, Pat. Thanks for being on, and we'll talk to you guys next week.